This is a presentation of LifePoint Church. Our mission is to make gospel-centered disciples of Jesus Christ. For more information, please visit sharethelife.org.
Would you bow your heads in prayer with me as we begin our time together? Father, this is a weighty text. It causes emotions to be very heavy, forlorn, curious, saddened, greatly saddened. So in this, Lord, help us as a congregation today, in 2017, be able to view this ancient text and apply in our life today. We ask that you would soften our hearts to what you would like to do with our hearts, how you would like to shape our hearts and our minds so that we would be a transformed people in this world. We love you, and we thank you for this time together. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So, this sermon is going to be rated PG. Parents are strongly encouraged to be guiding their children and understanding how this is going to be going forward because this is heavy. There's many, many, many tens of thousands, maybe hundreds of thousands of Egyptians dying at the stroke of midnight. And this all from God. This is God in His holy decree slaying Egyptian after Egyptian. And this is going to be difficult for us to stomach because it's not often a passage that we would just harmonize upon and dwell upon as in a devotional guide to instruct us in our day. This is going to have to force us, this is going to force us to deal with grief in a very, very real way. A very real way. I want to say that every person in this room is like Pharaoh. Let me repeat that. Every person in this room is like Pharaoh. So now how can this be? How can we be like Pharaoh? How can we be like such a tyrant who lorded himself over all of Egypt, all of Israel as well? And if you know anything about your Hebrew history through the chapters preceding this, you just see what a difficult, difficult man this Pharaoh was. He believed he was a god. Many people viewed him as a god. But I think every person in this room is like a Pharaoh. Because Pharaoh, what he wanted was, he wanted things his way. He wanted the things of God. But I don't think he necessarily wanted God. See, he wanted the way things used to be. He wanted the way things used to be back in the golden times of his reign, when things were easy and the Hebrews just obeyed easily and they weren't making this fuss about being led out of their land and out of Egypt and go to their own promised land to worship to their God. He wanted things easy when things succeeded in his way, in his leadership. And so we'll see with each of these past nine plagues that Pastor Dale did a great job preaching a couple weeks ago. These plagues, each time you see this Pharaoh, he is wheeling and dealing with God and making agreements and going back on his word. He's so fickle because he just basically wants what he wants. And every time he asks for the plague to be stopped, it's stopped. And relief happens, but he changes his mind. And then God brings another plague. I think the problem with this is that we want the things of God, but we're not ready to submit to God. And that's where Pharaoh is at. He wants the things of God. He wants the power of God to stop the plagues, but he's not ready to surrender himself to this authority of God. No, he's not ready for that. And many of us in this room, we look at this story as a true historical story. Some of us in this room look at this story and it's like, that's too much to handle. And some of us look at this story and say, well, it's probably a fable at best. But you know what? The truth is, this story is true. And then we're just not ready for it. We're not ready to submit to the authority of a God like that. You know, as we look into the plagues, I want to look back into what God was doing in this time. Because with each one of these nine plagues that had happened, the Hebrews, the Pharaoh, no one is in control but God. And that's the way it is for us today. God is the one who's in control. He controls all things. And in this time, we are to worship God. God calls us to worship Him. And so a lot of times we don't have our preferences and the ways that we want to worship and the way we want to go about things. But God demands our worship. And He's demanding it of the Hebrews. He's demanding of the Pharaoh to let the Hebrews go. And so in that, today, in 2017, God commands us to worship Him. But why do we worship Him? Why do we worship Him? We worship Him because we fear Him. We love Him. And I want to share more about that later. Thing is, He has brought these plagues upon us, upon Egypt. Upon Egypt, these plagues have come. The first one, the first plague that He brought, and I'm just going to briefly list these. He turned the Nile River into blood. He turned the Nile River into blood, and I think that is just the most disgusting thing ever. Could you imagine that your pathway to refreshment, to water, to bathing, is now turned into blood? And not just the river, but all the ditches and all the canals and all the rocks and crevices that had water in it was turned into blood. And I just don't deal well with blood. I don't like blood at all. I am a hunter, and sometimes God is faithful enough to allow an animal to slow its roll for me to take a shot and have a kill and take care of that animal. And I do what I need to do, but that blood doesn't bother me so much as when it comes time to have that removed out of my veins. And if some of you are like me, there's just some things we can't do. We have our limits. Remember one time when I was a youth pastor and Hurricane Katrina happened and we got some of the youth group together and we went to this blood bus because that's the thing you do as an American citizen. You go and you help out, you contribute. And I've never been able to do this well. And so I advised the people saying, I don't know if I'll be able to make it through this, but I want to do this. And they said, well, we'll take care of you. They put me in this nice recliner, got the air turned on and put this nasty thing on my arm. Oh, these are great veins, Craig. Oh, this is gushing. This is good. And I'm like, stop talking, I'm getting sweaty. And I keep going, and next thing you know, she comes back to check on me, and she says, how are you doing, Craig? Well, I can't see you. You can't see me? No, I can't see you. She goes, okay, we're taking you off. Give me the smelling salts, the ammonia, and gets the fan going hot. She goes, Craig, you were so close. I said, what do you mean? She goes, you got 432 milliliters. Well, how many do you need? 450. So what are you going to do? Well, we have to dump it. Come on, man. Just let me leak out. I'm not going anywhere. I don't like blood. And having the Nile, I'm certain the Egyptians did not like blood in their river. The land was filled with frogs until the Pharaoh did this double take and said, I'll give you what you want, but any changes is mine. All the frogs died, and they piled them up into clumps to fill the land with frogs. Then he sent gnats, tiny little sand flea gnats. Flies came next. Swarmed the earth, swarmed all over the people, all over the livestock, flies, disease on all the farm animals, and killed massive amounts of their livestock. Only Egyptian livestock. Mind you that the Israelites, their livestock was protected. And then people broke out into boils, painful blisters and boils. The worst storm ever hit Egypt. Fire and lightning and hailstones that just pummeled and punished people left outside. The worst storm ever in Egypt. The eighth was the last. Many a locust in the sky looked black. It was just heavy. It came in from the east winds and just covered and devoured every green shrub, stub, leaf, gone. And the last plague was darkness for 3 days. A darkness that was so dark it could be felt. So dark. The darkness you feel playing hide and go seek in the basement. Close the door. Go into the closet. Close the door. They stumbled around for 3 days. Everyone living in Egypt at that time saw these plagues. And many actually paid attention and listened to God. Many actually saw this, but the Pharaoh would not relent. He would not relent. He would not give over his control. He would not surrender to the authority of God. But not everyone listened like the Pharaoh. And it's possible for us today to see that God is one. It's possible for us to see what God is doing and not trust God, to not trust and believe in God. And the book of James tells us about that, that even the demons believe, yet they will even shudder. Their belief causes them to shudder. Pharaoh's not doing this. You know, I think the central purpose as to why God brought these plagues, these nine plagues, and what we got into today in chapter 12, the 10th plague, is because both Egypt and Israel would know who He is. He is the Lord. God is saying, I am the Lord over all creation, over all Egypt, over all Israel, all over all distant lands. I am the Lord, and I am going to clearly display this power, this authority. He's going to clearly display His mercy. He's going to clearly display His judgment. So why is it that they sell it? Why is it that this Passover feast is to be celebrated year after year? This Passover feast that moves into the Feast of Unleavened Bread, and it's about ordinances. And today, our evangelical church, many churches like ours, celebrate two ordinances. The first being a believer's baptism, and the second being communion. And today, we're going to have a chance to conclude our time together with a time of communion. That's what we celebrate today. But back in this time, God wants them to celebrate this Passover feast year after year. Every year, you're to celebrate this. And why is that? It's because we forget so quickly. We forget so quickly, and we need to be reminded of the good things. We need to be reminded of the important things. It reminds me of one of my professors in seminary said that some of the things that are best learned are the ones that we have relearned. And I think this provides us opportunity to do that. It's to celebrate a new ordinance. And for the Hebrews who have become disenfranchised by God, their God, the God Yahweh, they have been disenfranchised because they have been serving this God for 430 years in this distant land of in slavery. And much of Egypt had infiltrated into their lives, into their customs, into their practices, into their worship. And so God not only wanted to take Israel out of Egypt to worship Him, He wanted to take the Egypt out of Israel to worship Him. And so they start, a culture of worship is started. A culture of worship that is going to be defined from this point forward. A new calendar is created for this group of Hebrews. They're to select a lamb on the 10th day of this new calendar, of this new month, to remember, to commemorate what God is doing. This lamb is to be a male and to be without flaw, to be unblemished. A beautiful lamb, a precious and costly lamb is what this lamb is to be. I did some research, and this lamb would sometimes be, depending on the species of lamb, of sheep or goat, would be anywhere between 70 to over 100 pounds, just over 100 pounds. But it was to be without flaw. And then you were to kill the lamb on the 14th day. Kill the lamb. Remember this. Commemorate upon this. Kill the lamb on the 14th day and apply that blood that you collect from this lamb. Apply it on your doorpost, upon the top of the doorpost, the lintel. Apply the lamb outside. He doesn't tell us to apply the blood on the outside, just the outside. He's not telling us to apply the blood on the inside. He's actually telling us to apply on the outside of the house to be seen. And if I am a family man at this time, leading my family in this time, I'm going to make certain that I'm going to be obedient on this night. I'm going to make sure that is painted well. Not that I doubt that God's eyesight wouldn't see it, but I want to paint it well to make certain that my house is covered. Apply the blood on the door frame and apply it on the outside so that it is public. And then you are to eat the lamb. You are to eat the lamb. Here we have Moses and Aaron having a barbecue here. And there's a few things that are inaccurate about this picture. As I looked for an accurate picture, I couldn't find one. But you'll see as a description of how they were to roast this lamb, they were not to break a bone on this lamb. And they were supposed to leave the head on this lamb. And these guys got it wrong. But that's about the size. That's about how they would go about roasting lamb over an open flame with the bitter herbs that the country of Egypt provided. And they were to eat this lamb. Them and the whole household, the neighbors who had need, they were to bring them in and be covered underneath the protection of this house that has the blood of the lamb over it. Apply the blood on the doorframe. Eat the lamb. Stay inside your home. Because tonight is going to be a night of death. You do not want to be outside the protection of the blood of the lamb. The blood will be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. This is a sign for you. This blood is what is going to protect the Hebrews. It's nothing that they can do of themselves, that they can provide of themselves. It's what the Lamb has provided for their protection, for their salvation. Salvation from the death angel. I want to transfer a little bit into the New Testament to talk about the Lamb of God. John says this, the next day John saw Jesus coming toward him and declared, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Right away he identifies who Jesus is for all the people, for all the Hebrews to realize and to witness. This is the Lamb of God. So why do we need to celebrate this Passover and this Feast of Unleavened Bread? And our children are going to be asking this question of us, is why are we eating this bread without yeast in it? This bread doesn't taste as good as it did yesterday. And they spent 7 verses to explain in this chapter about do not surround yourself with any leaven. Remove yourself from any leaven. Do not be in a home with leaven for 7 days. And it was all about to remember, to commemorate, to remember again and again and again what God has done, what God did, and how He demonstrated Himself faithful to these people. You've got to remember this and repeat it time and time again. We do not do that well in our nation as we think about what Hallmark tells us to celebrate and to commemorate over 40 different dates a year. Thanksgiving has become a joke, hasn't it? Maybe you gather some family and friends from across the city or maybe the state, and it's all about bringing this heavy laden food with butter and cream and sugar, and it doesn't all identify what our Puritans went through when they came over here and discovered this land as they were hungry. They were so thankful for a fish. They were so thankful that the ground produced a crop. Talk about eating lean and green. These people knew how to do it. And today we gather around for the men and women to gorge ourselves on Thanksgiving. The men go and watch boring Detroit Lions football. And the women open up the photo albums. Teenagers, that's a folder inside your iPads that you would just do this. And then everyone falls asleep to wake up to a piece of pie. Thanksgiving. Happy Thanksgiving. 4th of July is almost worse. Hot dogs, illegal firecrackers, cheap domestic beer, swimming. Happy 4th of July. Thank you for all those who gave their lives so that we could have a nation of freedom. We don't commemorate well. We forget quickly. But our children will ask, and that is an opportunity for parents to guide our children in the ways of the Lord, to teach them how God is faithful, how God kept His promise, how God did it all. Remember, it was God who brought you out of Egypt. Secondly, I think what it reminds us is that of our need, our great need for God. This act of worship, this culture of worship, it reminds us of our need for God. It also reminds us of that we're all in this together. We are all in this together. Because again, I do think we have the Pharaoh inside of us. And that Pharaoh is sin. Judgment is unleashed in this chapter. Judgment from God is unleashed upon Pharaoh and his people. And all firstborn are affected. If they do not have the blood of the Lamb covering the home and staying inside that home, being obedient to what God has told them to do, all firstborn are slayed that night. Just for a picture of what that looks like, I'm standing, I'm firstborn in my family. If you're firstborn in your family, would you please stand just quickly at your feet just for a moment? Take a look around. Yeah, maybe a third. Thank you. Maybe a third of us. I don't know what the numbers were that night. But for a nation of Egypt, for their firstborn, it wasn't just the firstborn of the children in that home. It was the firstborn. It was male. It was female. And it was deadly. So sad. Because that night, your cake maker, your baker died. That night, the girl who babysat your kids that died. A mayor over a certain section of the city died. Rulers died. Teachers died. Neighbor died. It was ruthless. And a great cry in Egypt could be heard. Great mourning that was undeniable, that everyone heard. Because if you were a family that painted your door frame, again, on the public, on the outside, so that the blood can be seen, if you were that family, you maybe stayed up to see if this was really going to happen at midnight. On a much smaller context, I was staying up December 31st, 1999, 11:59 as we traveled right into Y2K. My TV stayed on, my water stayed on, and it passed by. But this didn't happen this night. It was a cry. The Pharaoh rose up in the night, he and his servants and all the Egyptians. And there was a great cry in Egypt, for there was not a house where someone was not dead. You know, this was not a new idea. If you travel back 80 years earlier to chapter 1 of Exodus, you'll see that the king of Egypt, Pharaoh, he made a decree as he saw that the Hebrews, the Israelites, they were growing in number and growing in strength. And he was afraid that they might take over the land of Egypt. And so one of the decrees he made was for all newly born boys to be tossed into the Nile, into the river to die. So God, in his judgment, he throws down with even more severity. He takes Pharaoh's idea and brings more death, more judgment. But there's mercy. There's mercy to be revealed in the blood of the Lamb that brought protection upon even the nation of Israel during this time. It took the nation of Israel to apply their faith, to be obedient, to kill the lamb, to paint the door frame, to stay inside. It took faith and obedience for that to happen. Where the prior nine plagues, God protected Israel. He continues to give them protection and salvation through their faith and through their obedience. Mercy is revealed by the killing of the lamb. Mercy is revealed to live. You must have the blood be on the outside of your home. And please stay inside. Death is going to be everywhere this night. And you do not want to be outside. And so as Christians today in 2017, how do we apply this to our lives? How do we see the truth and what God has for us today? You know, we are called to worship, and we all showed up here this morning prepared to worship. We have arrived. We have made ourselves available to worship, and we've done that with singing. We've done that with praying. We've done that with reading the Scripture. Now we're hearing through God's Word about how we can have our hearts shaped, become more and more like Jesus. We can glean something from what the Hebrews did, and they got it right one night. Exodus 12:27 says, "It is the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover, for he passed over the houses of the people of Israel in Egypt, when he struck the Egyptians but spared our houses. And the people bowed their heads and worshipped." The people bowed their heads and worshipped. This was not a night to celebrate. This was a night of death. And it very well could have been death for the Hebrews, for the nation of Israel. It very well could have been their death, but they were stung with this feeling of grace, this recognition of grace in their lives by God directing them to select a lamb, an unblemished lamb, to kill the lamb, to paint the outside of their homes with the blood of the lamb, to eat the lamb, and to be prepared to move in the morning. And to repeat this year after year after year, to commemorate, to remember again and again and again. We want the things of God. We don't want to surrender to God many times. We think what we want is best. We think what we want is even better. But that night, Israel got it right. The people bowed their heads and they worshiped. Why? Because they realized God has done it all. He's provided all their salvation, something that they could not provide. He has done it all. And today, we stand here recognizing the same thing, that God has done it all. In the form of Jesus, His own Son. Listen from 1 Peter. "And if you call on Him as Father who judges impartially according to each one's deeds, conduct yourselves with fear throughout the time of your exile, knowing that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers." You were ransomed. "Not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot." You see, we've all fallen very far short of God's expectation. We have all fallen short. We've all sinned. And we all have something very similar to the Pharaoh. We want the things of God, but we don't necessarily want God. But paying the price, Jesus died for each one of us. He died for the world. He demonstrated His love for us in this, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died. And in a few moments, we're going to have the opportunity to receive communion. And I just want to provide opportunity for God to move in your heart so that you might be a changed man, you might be a changed woman. That if God is moving upon your heart, I want to provide opportunity for you to do something about that. And this is a safe place. You know, if I've asked our elders to be in prayer about this week, and most of them are here this weekend. So elders and wives, would you mind coming forward and sitting on one of these front pews up here that is available now? And in this, I'm asking for you, congregation, to examine yourself. Examine yourself to know, where do I stand with the Lord? Where do I stand in His presence? If I were to be catapulted before God right now, in His perfect and holy heaven right now, how certain am I that God would allow me to remain in that perfect, spotless, holy, sovereign heaven, where no sin can be allowed in? How certain are you? And if you are not certain, your certain answer is by the blood of Jesus Christ. That is why I'd be allowed in, because when God sees me, He sees Jesus. And He looks at me just as if I've always obeyed and have never sinned. That's the power and the transformation of Jesus Christ in your life. If you have yet to know that, to accept that, to believe that, then we'll give you opportunity. You can do it at your seat. This time for communion is for believers. It's a holy ordinance that Christians throughout the world partake together. And we have grape juice, we have bread. And the bread is to represent the broken body of Christ. The grape juice is to represent His blood poured out for the forgiveness of many, for the forgiveness of sins. If you have yet to receive Jesus Christ, please let that pass you by. If you have received Jesus Christ and you're new with us and your family with us, please participate. But our elders, we're here to love you, to hear you, to pray with you, and we want to make ourselves available to you. And so we're going to have this opportunity to have the ushers come and distribute the elements to us. I'll lead us together and receive in taking the bread and the juice together. And when that's complete, we're going to sing a song. And during that song, when we finish taking communion, that's when I would love for you to come forward and respond to God by involving other humans, other people who are in this with you. So, Father, as we receive these elements, we ask that you be glorified as we realize the blood has been shed by the Lamb. And that Lamb, Jesus Christ, makes Himself available to us today. May we live with the blood on the outside. May our confession of you be on the outside, just as that blood was on the outside of that house. If we confess you before men, you say you will confess us before your Father who is in heaven. So in this, Lord, be glorified as we remember your great sacrifice. We remember again and again and again. We commemorate upon this beautiful act of love you've given to us in the form of your Son, Jesus. Amen.
This has been a presentation of LifePoint Church. It is our greatest desire that every person would trust Jesus Christ as the leader of their lives and forgiver of their sins. If you would like to make this decision today or find out more, please visit sharethelife.org.